What we've done in planning our conference time together this afternoon, right now in this session, we're going to cover the topic of grow. And we're going to hit the three priorities of the district. We've laid the groundwork in terms of what we shared this morning, what Richard Rising shared, what I shared before him has laid the foundation. Now we're going to talk about the three priorities of the district: grow, develop, and relate. In this session right now, we're going to cover the topic of grow. Before we jump right into the meat of it, let me just take 2 seconds to reflect on what Richard Rising communicated this morning. Marketing is about managing the perceptions of those who look at us, of those that receive our ministry. It's not about manipulating them. It's not about being something we're not. It's about being authentic and genuine, and then directing them to fully understand who we really are. And to do that, we have to close the gaps between what we have said we're going to be. For instance, in our leader manual, we've said we're going to be this kind of ministry. I won't take a showing of hands, but if you haven't read this and done so carefully, you will want to do it, because this is how you will know if you're living up to the promises that we're making to churches about the flexibility, about the ease of starting rangers and the options they have. And we're going to review a few of those today, but you absolutely need to be reading that. If you have not done the assessments that we discussed last year in your district, or if you're finishing them, finish those up, because this defines the leadership behaviors and attitudes that we will be adopting, that we are adopting. Talks about the culture that we want to engender within Roll Rangers so that we are prepared for the future. If you're not, if you've done the assessment, you know that there's an operational guideline. Make sure that you begin to structure yourself in conformity with that new operational guideline. There's a branding guide that you received last year that will define your website and your communications pieces. Begin to assess your communication pieces in light of that branding guide, etc. Move through this process to, as quickly as you can, close up these gaps. I know that as a ministry, we're panting to get all this done and keep up and do it. And it's a lot of work. I know it is. We have a lot of work nationally. We've got 3 new handbooks that have to come out. We've got work on the website. We've got track club work. We've got PR resources that we're going to reference here in a few moments. We've got our work cut out. We're moving as fast as we can, because on this other side, the pastors, the church leaders that we're called to serve are saying, you can't get it done fast enough. So that's the tension that we're working with, and I just want to urge you to move as quickly as you can to close these gaps so that the experience that we deliver is the same experience that we have promised in our resources. Amen? So let me just mention this as we segue from, again, what Richard covered this morning and what we will move into now. We have been very intentional in the national office to make sure we make the changes first and then communicate them second. We want to re-engineer things where we need to and reinvigorate things where we need to and do that first and then begin the communication process. The good news is we've been working on this for 2 or 3 years, and this year we will be able to finish out the re-engineering part and the work part. And so all of us, national and district, we need to finish this up quickly. Finish the assessments, all the things that we've talked about. Finish those up, because this year we will begin that aggressive communication that's going to be coming. And so when that communication starts, that's when people are going to be saying, is this promise in this advertising piece what I experience? And if they pick up the phone and they call the district director or they call the outreach coordinator, and suddenly the information they're getting from that personal contact is way different from what they've been promised in the resources and in the classes that we're going to be talking, sharing with pastors and all of the different strategies, the website and all of this, if that's out of sync, then there's going to be this huge, what we would call a marketing gap, a perception gap. We perceive we're this way, but in reality, we're not that. And we have to close that marketing gap. So do you understand the challenge before us as a ministry? Are you up for it? Are you ready to see Royal Rangers grow? If growing Royal Rangers was as easy as making an airplane and throwing it, everyone would be doing it. And not very well. So let's get good at this. Let's get good at growing Royal Rangers. Amen? I believe with all of my heart that our best days are ahead. When you do God's business, God's way, you can get God's results. Amen? So let's move in. We're following the Lord, and let's just keep following Him, and good things will happen. Good things will happen. So let's talk about growing Royal Rangers. First thing I want to mention, that if we are to grow Royal Rangers, we must first understand this thing, this simple thing, that good communication is promise-keeping. Good communication is promise-keeping. We are good promise-keepers. We're good communicators when our words and our actions match. And Richard referred to this morning, that our words and our actions have to match. Solomon, he said the guest there, she saw his wisdom. They have to see our wisdom. Our words and our actions, they have to match if we are to be good communicators. And when we are good communicators by following through and having our actions consistent with our promises, then what happens first off is that we gain credibility. Credibility is when they believe us. They can trust us. Second thing that happens is that we gain their respect. Third thing that happens is that we begin to experience growth potential. So having that gap between, there's a great saying in Spanish, I love it. Entre el dicho y el hecho, hay un gran trecho. Gracias. And everybody understood that, correct? Very simply, it means between your words and your deeds, there's often a great gulf. And in marketing and in managing perceptions, we have to eliminate that in order to get the credibility, the respect, and the growth potential. So to be promise keepers, again, just for the sake of clarity, our leadership, our programming, our actions must be consistent with the promise in the leader's manual. Our leadership must reflect what we have promised it would be by being in conformity with the assessments and the EI and all that we learned in the performance plan and the success formula and the whole process. These are things the Lord has led us through to lay foundations for what He has in store for us. And what He has in store for us is growth. We need to bring our structures into alignment with the operational guidelines. We need to bring our websites and our printed resources, all of these things, into alignment with our branding guide. John the Baptist was one of those men that says, you know what, I'm going to set aside my personal preferences so that I can decrease and Jesus can increase. And I just want to challenge you. You know, I've heard a couple of districts say to me, we have no intentions of doing that assessment. Ouch. We have no intentions of going through the process of looking at ourselves. Some of them say, I don't have time for it. No one's going to have time for it. But if you don't take time to look at yourself, you're not going to have time for a whole lot later anyway. Spinning your wheels, doing maybe the right things, maybe not. You won't know until you assess it. What gets assessed gets perfected. What gets measured gets repeated. What gets rewarded gets repeated. So get in, do those assessments. Let's move in line with this so that we're not out of step. Let's close the gaps between our promise and what our ministry recipients experience. Turn with me, if you would, in your magazine. Quickly, don't lose your space there where you're at, but turn over to page 40, because this is the baseline, the bare bones bedrock of our promise. What is Royal Rangers? It's page 40 on the far left. What is Royal Rangers? Say it with me if you would. I'm sure you've memorized this by now. Royal Rangers is a mentoring program for future men. What do we provide? We provide Christ-like character formation and servant leadership development for boys and young men in a highly relational and fun environment. This answers the two simple questions. What is Role Rangers, and why does it matter? Who is Role Rangers? Why does it matter? Role Rangers is a mentoring program for future men. That's our focus. We provide Christ-like character formation, which means we have to be those kind of men. And servant leadership development means we have to be servant leaders ourselves. Talk about the promises we've got to follow. This really comes down to our character and who we are, the words that we choose, the way we choose to model for boys and young men and their families. And we do it in a highly relational. It means it's not distance with titles. It's closeness with relationship with boys and young men. This is a very, very serious commitment we're making. Amen? In a fun environment, meaning let's make it fun for the boys as they participate. This is the ultimate promise that we have made to those that are going to receive this ministry. Role Rangers is a mentoring ministry for future men. We provide Christ-like character formation and leadership development in a highly relational and fun environment. Have you memorized it yet? Do it. That way you'll have that elevator speech down. When you're in the elevator out here and one of these guys asks you, what is Role Rangers, because he sees your uniform, I'm going to be the guy in the back you don't see. And I'm going to be taking grades, all right? Excellent. Let's move on. So our first point was that good communication is promise keeping. Let's be good communicators by making our actions speak loudly. And then they will believe us, they will respect us, and we will have established growth potential. The second thing we must do if we're going to really grow Role Rangers is be in conformity with the Acts 2 model. Now, this is something that Brother Garrison, our assistant junior general superintendent, has referenced in past years. He's going to talk about it more tonight. You're going to really enjoy him at the Silver Eagle celebration, and there may still be tickets available if you'd like to go. We're going to have a great time at Love and War. If your wife goes, make sure she's all ready for the love part, okay? Leave the war part here and go enjoy the love part, and we'll have a great time tonight. But the Acts 2 model is, again, based, obviously, out of Acts 2, where the early church had five things that were foundational to their success. First, they were all about connecting. You see on the right, the connect and the community. The second thing they did is they had this commitment to grow. They absolutely wanted to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. They wanted to serve. They wanted to go. And worship was encompassed in all of that. Now, Role Rangers aligns with this systemically. And I just want to explain this to you because this is a model that is not a passing fad. It's something that the entire Assemblies of God is lining up with. At the district level, it's being used as a means of transforming churches. You may or may not be aware of it, but many, many churches across the nation need to be revitalized. And so this is the model that's being used to revitalize many, many of our churches. And church plants, many of them are coming on and using this model as well. So let me just explain how this lines up with Role Rangers. We are in perfect conformity with Acts 2. And let me explain it. On the connect piece, and if you'd go ahead and put that back up there so guys can see it. On that connect piece, Role Rangers were involved in connecting with boys and young men relationally by doing things together, because that's how men and boys build relationship. So we build relationship by doing things. Our skill merits are the activity base for those relationships. So our skill merits really are our means of doing things with boys, and in that way, we're building relationship with them. So our skill merits is our evangelism piece, it's our connect piece, it's our community piece. The second thing is our Bible merits. Our Bible merits are the grow component, because it's the discipleship component. It's how men and boys learn together from the Word and discover models in the Bible of how to be a godly man, and they begin to conform to the image of Jesus Christ in that manner. So our Bible merits are our grow component. And then the serve and grow components are encompassed in our leadership merits. That's our empower component. This is how we change Royal Rangers into a boy-led, adult-facilitated ministry. And then worship, of course, is encompassed in everything we do in Royal Rangers. It's not just about raising our hands and singing. It's all about everything we do and everything we offer the Lord is an act of worship. So this is how Royal Rangers is synced up with the Acts 2 model. And we're going to be making some small adjustments as we go to the curriculum and things to make this more obvious and more succinct. But what I want you to clearly understand is that as you, as organizational leaders, begin to visit with pastors, you're going to be asked the question, does this come into conformity with Acts 2? And you need to understand how that works, because it absolutely does. Many, many churches are using the Acts 2 model, and you're going to be asked about it. So, again, tonight, Brother Garrison will be amplifying what we're talking about now, so I won't go into any further details. But this is the way that we are going to be able to sync Royal Rangers up with the broader church ministries. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow with some members of the children's ministries team from the Assemblies of God, Mark Ensminger and a few others. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. But we're bringing Royal Rangers and children's ministries and youth and adults and everyone into conformity to this so that the entire church can be working with the same basic model. Doesn't that make good sense? We can get families on the same page. We can get ministries on the same page. And so this is just exciting. Bottom line is, this is just one topic that we'll hit, we'll glance on, we'll move forward, because Brother Garrison is going to amplify on it a little more tonight. Third, if we're to grow Royal Rangers, we must target the right churches. We've said in the past that we have something like 25,000 churches that have the potential of starting Royal Rangers. So how in the world do we narrow our effort? We can't possibly go out and build relationships with every single one of those 25,000 churches. So how do we begin to focus in on the churches that are most likely to be most receptive to starting a ministry like Royal Rangers? So first, let's talk about the church description. Let me describe what this church may look like. First off, before we go any further, let me just say, This is something we've arrived at by way of some research, by way of some interviews, by looking at who is currently using Royal Rangers successfully. This isn't hard and fast, so I just want you to know right up front, you're going to obviously be able to find the exceptions to this, but let's just talk about the general rule. First off, when you're looking for these churches to really invest time in and build relationships that may very likely want to start Royal Rangers, look first and foremost for the church that has a hunger to grow. A church that has a hunger to grow. A church that has a heart for the lost and is learning, as Richard Rising talked about this morning, is learning who their target is, and they're trying to get in and connect with them. That is a prime church to begin building relationships with, because if they're hungry to grow, then Royal Rangers is going to be a ministry that they may very well want to adopt. You see, if the church is hungry to grow, then they're going to be looking for ways to reach their community, and Rangers is a great way to do that. Secondly, when you're looking for a church that may be a prime candidate to start Royal Rangers, look for a church that has a measure of financial stability. Doesn't mean they have to have a huge, massive building. In fact, they may be meeting in a storefront. That's not the point. The point is, do they have some level of financial stability, or perhaps they're not even sure if they'll be able to keep the church door open next week. If they're not even sure they can keep the door open next week, they're probably not looking for ways to invest in children's ministries. But if they have a hunger to grow, they've arrived at a certain level of financial stability where they know they're here to stay now, that's another indicator that it's a prime church to invest in. Third, invest in the churches that are obviously trying to reach young families. If we're seeing young families come to this church, then there's a likelihood that those parents really want to invest in their sons. Really invest in them. I mean, these are parents that are driving their kids to Little League. They're driving them over to the school activities, and they also want their sons to be ministered to spiritually, and so they are prime candidates for starting Royal Rangers. So again, hunger to grow, financial stability, and an evidence of ministering to families. Now, you might say, okay, is there a church size that kind of meets this description? I knew you were thinking that. It's a really hard thing to say, but I would say church between 75 and 150 is probably going to be showing those three signs. You see, churches reach certain plateaus in their growth. For instance, when a church hits close to 200, they have to make decisions at that point. Because to break that 200 barrier, there's things that the leadership has to do different, new skills, new behaviors, new attitudes, and there's things that the congregants have to do a little different. So a church that breaks through, it means it's a church that the leadership and the congregants have made some decisions that they're going to do things a little different in order to grow and to continue to succeed. So look for churches that break through those barriers. Breaking past 100, that's a good indication. Breaking past 200, another good indication. Because that means that the church is hungry to grow. Means they're attaining a certain level of financial stability. Means they're attracting some families. So look for the churches that are breaking through. Now, I can see your eyes are you're cranking. So let's just linger here a minute. Because there's some behaviors and some leadership things that have to happen different on the part of the pastor or pastoral staff if they're going to grow. For instance, if a pastor says, if I am going to pastor this church, I want to be the one that always gets called to pray for someone when they're sick at home or in the hospital. If the pastor wants that kind of involvement in every single situation, and Harry's down here smiling at me, then that's a sign that that pastor wants to pastor a smaller church. There's nothing wrong with that. He's got his highly pastoral heart. He wants to be highly close to his flock. But that's not a church that's going to bust through that. But if you see that very same pastor come to the conclusion that, no, I want to see my church really break through to 200 and beyond, and he begins to empower his staff and other lay leaders to do it, then guess what? Then that church is going to begin to grow. And so that's a good sign when that church has leadership that's willing to do things and let loose of some things, or in some cases take possession of some leadership responsibilities that before was lay-led. That's a sign you got a church that's got a hunger to grow. But it takes also involvement on the part of the church congregants. Because, for instance, if everyone expects the pastor to be the one to come visit them, and they're not willing to let the youth pastor do some of it, or some lay people do some of it, then the congregants can be, no, we're going to keep this church a certain size. So you see what I'm saying is it takes a little bit of new habits and new skills on the part of the leadership and new expectations on the part of the congregants. Does that make sense? Awesome. So again, there's a lot of stuff you can read on this if you're interested in it, but the bottom line is look for the churches that are showing a hunger to grow and learning the new skills and the new behaviors to move through various thresholds that a church bumps up into. So that's on the low end. Is there a number on the high end? That, again, is a tough question to answer. But churches that typically start getting close to 1,000, 200, and beyond, many of them, if they've already had Roar Rangers, they're going to continue to do it because it's a good, strong ministry. It's part of the fabric of the church. But after that, it's going to take a church that wants to look to outside resources for help, because otherwise many of the churches beyond that can say, you know what, we can do this ourselves better. Now again, there's churches, I just heard of a church in Oregon, 3,500, that's starting Roar Rangers. So am I saying that churches of 3,500 you shouldn't target? No, because if they have this hunger for growth and they're investing and all of this, they still are part of your target group. Amen? So don't get hung up on the low-end number or on the high-end number. More importantly, look at the qualities of the church. Is it hungry to grow? Does it have financial stability? Is it ministering to young families? Because if it is, it's a prime target for Roar Rangers. Great place to invest your time and energies. Now, if these churches are going to adopt Roar Rangers, they're going to need five things. If any of these churches are going to adopt Roar Rangers, they're going to need five things. First off, they need to know about Roar Rangers. I'm brilliant, aren't I? I figured that out on my own. So we have to create awareness within the district and nationally about Roll Rangers. So it's worth investing in those ads. It's worth investing in the materials that go out to the ministers. It's worth investing in that to create awareness. Second thing they're going to need is to be convinced that you care. Now, this is really important, particularly if you're talking about pastors who are under the age of 40. And obviously that's a growing number of our ministers who are pastoring churches, particularly if they're a children's or youth pastor and have responsibility for choosing what ministries, if any, to bring into the church. They don't want you to be constantly shoving a brochure in their hand. What they want is relationship. And if you can show you care, then you will penetrate through all of the glossy materials and all of the websites that they are used to visiting and looking for resources at. Build the relationship. Break through relationally. John Maxwell says, and I think you all know what he says about this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So it's critical. If you are the outreach coordinator, if you are the district director, if you are the training coordinator, every opportunity that you have to rub shoulders with these young pastors, don't be so eager to jump in and begin to thrust Roll Ranger brochures in their hands. Be more interested in connecting with them relationally, and you will be doing a very important thing in helping them to adopt Roll Rangers. Number three, if these churches are to adopt Roll Rangers, they need to know it is relevant. They need to know it's relevant. And I just want to say this. They need to know that Roll Rangers today is far more than a camping program and far more than a scouting program. They need to know it is a mentoring program for future men. There is no children's pastor, I hate to say this, no youth pastor, no lead pastor out there saying, where can I find a camping program for my boys? But if they hear that there is a mentoring program for their boys and young men, that will get their attention. So as you begin to communicate with pastors, let them know this is not your daddy's Buick. This is a new thing. Now, we're not trying to put down the past. We're simply acknowledging that we're relevant today. Because boys have changed, and so has Roll Rangers. Can I hear a hearty amen? Amen. So we are relevant. And the best way to help them understand we're relevant is that we know how, by way of outdoors and sports and trades, technologies, arts, ministry, business, you name it, whatever the activity is that will allow us to connect with that young man, that is how we can do it. And we will do it because we want to be relevant in that boy's life. Amen? Number four, they need to know that it is easy to implement Roll Rangers. And it is easy. Chapter 34 of the Leader Manual on page 329 describes the process for onboarding a church to Roll Rangers. If you're the outreach coordinator, if you're the training coordinator, the district director, no matter what position you have, you need to know how to describe this with ease. It's built out very simply. Ready, set, go. Was that easy? Read the Leader's Manual. We're not going to take time to go into that in great detail. But you'll notice the questions in that chapter describe things that will help them understand how they can apply Roll Rangers in their church. And that's part of the assessment process that you're going through, is how can I help them assess what will make Roll Rangers successful in their church. They need to know, finally, number five, that it will help them reach their stated or unstated goal of raising godly men. They need to know this is going to help them missionally. It's going to help them to accomplish what they are after, which is building godly men. How to communicate with these churches. Let's move through this very quickly. How to effectively communicate with these churches. Number one, be relevant. This means your district programming, everything that you have in place within the district, coincides, again, with what's in the Leader's Manual, the EI, operational guidelines. Bring all of that into sync. Number two, let them know that we are effective. explain to them why we do skill merits. Because that's how we arrive at evangelism. That's how we build the relationships. That's how we establish the bedrock to mentoring. Let them know how we equip boys and young men, explaining our Bible merits and how that lays the foundation of what it means to be a godly man from a biblical perspective. They want to know that we're effective. Help them understand how that we empower boys' lives by using the skill merits and the involvement the boys have on a regular basis in exercising leadership in the local church. Let them know that we are effective. Number three, let them know that we are affordable. Now, on your table, you should have received a list of resources to start up Rural Rangers in a church. Do you have that there? Take a look at that on your own time with more leisure. But you'll notice we broke it down. What do boys need? What do leaders need? And then, depending on the uniform option they choose, then what they will need for each of their members. It's very, very simple. But let them know the resources they need. There are options if they want to keep it very, very affordable. Again, when you're communicating with these churches, let them know that it's simple to start. And finally, don't be afraid to let them know this is a proven ministry. We've been around for nearly 50 years. Amen? Okay. Let's turn our attention to the screen for a moment and let's address the fact that they need to know that Rural Rangers is flexible. We talked this morning about the fact that we're more of a platform today than a program. So let's hit real quickly what it means when we are more of a platform. Number one, when we say that we're flexible, we're giving them options. You choose the leadership title. If they want to use the term commander because they need a more disciplined motif and feel to their program, then let them use that. This is very appropriate in many, many communities. But if that's not appropriate in their church culture and the community they're at, then let them choose to use the title group leader. Secondly, let them choose the mentoring activity. If outdoors and hunting and sports in Idaho is the way to go, then that is the mentoring activity. They choose it. But if they're in a place where sports is the end thing and that's the best way to connect with boys and young men, let them do that. We are flexible. If it means a little bit of all of this, then let it be a little bit of all of this. We are flexible. The church chooses the mentoring activity. Next, Rural Rangers is flexible. You choose the uniform. We have the dress uniform, which is a much more clean-cut, professional, military look. We have the utility, which is this, more comfortable, more intended to be worn while you're out in the dirt and dust doing activities. There's the vest, and then finally there's the specialty uniforms. So there are options. Which one is the best? The best uniform is the one that is best in that church's community. Amen? Next, Rural Rangers is flexible because you choose the budget, which means you are essentially choosing how much you rely on product. It is possible to start Rural Rangers with very few products, and it can be very, very affordable per boy per year, including chartering. Or if budget's not a concern, then you can go all out, and we have badges for about everything. We have pins for about everything, and we have plaques, and we have a whole bunch of things. If you want to go all out, we've got everything for those that want to go all out. Which is the best option? The best option is the one that works best for the church. Finally, you choose the staffing solution. You choose how you staff this. Men and women in Ranger Kids, the men in Discovery and Adventure and Expedition with the help of junior leaders. There's various staffing options you choose. You can combine groups if you need to in order to staff this. There are many, many solutions. So we have to, as we communicate with these churches, be very, very good at explaining why we say Rural Rangers is flexible. Now let me share with you a conversation that we had with a church some months back. Get the phone call. Interested in Rural Rangers. We explain it. We put them in touch with the district. And the district explains all of the opposite of flexibility. This is the way to do it. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Am I being unkind? We're just trying to close the gaps. Amen? So that when the national says we're flexible and the books say we're flexible, you're saying we are? It'll help you to say it really loud. We are?
Flexible.
Go ahead, jab the person next to you. That's for the dessert. Roll Rangers is flexible. Very good. Let's talk a little bit about relational marketing. Relational marketing. Let's go back to the point I made a few moments ago, that the best way to really see Roll Rangers grow is to build relationships. I just want to reiterate what's already something we've already covered. It's in the assessments. But we absolutely need for every district to have an outreach coordinator and a team that is entirely devoted to seeing Roll Rangers grow in the district. They don't have 10 other things on their to-do list for the district. They have one thing on their list, and it's a big one thing, and that is to grow the number of churches using Roll Rangers within their district. If that is going to happen, it's going to be because they take time to get where pastors are at and begin to build relationships with them. I had a conversation with a district director some months back, and just talking with admiration about the men in the district back in the 60s and 70s who really built relationships with pastors and really invested in them and really helped start all of these ranger groups. Well, that day has not passed. We still need that kind of pioneer work, that relational investment. So, how do we communicate with these pastors relationally? Number one, make sure that our words and our deeds match up. Make sure that our words and deeds match up. Make sure that they really know we care. Get to their sectional meetings. Get to where they're at and begin to build those relationships. Don't wait for them to call you. You get out there. You be the salesman. Now, we're going to, I don't believe Tim Bruder was able to make it unless I'm surprised. Tim, are you here? Tim Bruder from Southern Cal, he was admitted to the hospital just before lead for a procedure that he did not expect. He was looking forward to being here, but couldn't come. But Tim has done an excellent job in putting together a model to help to build relationships with pastors in his district. And what I want to do is just show you on the screen the model that he has developed and is working very, very well. It's five steps that they walk through in order to build the relationships. Number one is this slide, this circle over on the right. Identify, on the one on the top, establish genuine relationships. So they have an entire group of men in Southern California, and this is what they do. They just devote themselves to building relationships with the pastors. They get to where the youth pastors are at, the children's pastors are at, the lead pastors are at, and they just build genuine relationships. They may wear a Roll Ranger polo shirt, but they may not. The point isn't to advertise Roll Rangers. The point is to build genuine relationships. Once the relationship is built, then the questions begin to come. So you're involved in Rangers. Why is that? They begin to talk. Nothing may come of it the first conversation. Two or three visits later, two or three sectional meetings later, two or three golf matches later. They begin to inquire about Roll Rangers. Then they begin to identify their mentoring needs. It's not, yeah, start Roll Rangers. His men begin by asking, how can we best help you mentor boys in your church? How can we help you mentor future men in your church? And if that is not Roll Rangers, after he assesses what their needs are, then he helps them arrive at a solution, even if it's not Roll Rangers. It's like going to Walmart. Do you have this here? I'm sorry, we don't. Go to Target. Does that mean all of your business from now on goes to Target? You're probably going to keep coming back to Walmart because they cared enough to meet your need rather than their financial need. True? So help them find their solution. And if it's not in Roll Rangers, help them find that solution. Then if they do go with Royal Rangers, then to find the best solution for them, launch and charter the outpost. It's very simple. It's ready, set, go. And then finally, they deliver on any promises that they've made to the church, to the pastors. They evaluate and they keep building relationships with the pastors. They keep those relationships strong. They make new relationships. And in Southern California, Tim is doing a great job building relationships. One of his goals, and Steve, you might have to help correct me here, but he had a goal or has a goal of getting the top five churches in the state to pick up Royal Rangers, true? And I don't remember how many he's at right now. He's at three of the five. How did he do it? Relationship. Some of these had Royal Rangers in the past, dropped it. He chose to build relationships, and the relationships are paying off. What I'm saying is very simple, almost so simple it could be overlooked. Build those relationships. If you're the outreach coordinator or you're a member of the outreach team, build those relationships. It will pay off. Now, you've got churches in your districts that have started Royal Rangers in the past. They've dropped it. Relationships will help you reconnect with those churches. I'd like to invite Rick Black, the district director from Tennessee, to come join me. Give it up for Rick. Rick is a tremendous district director. He really is an awesome leader and doing a terrific job. His chartering numbers are up hugely, and their training numbers are strong. They've got a great team. I can't speak highly enough of Rick. He's doing a great job. But you had a pastor a few years ago drop Royal Rangers, and now he's picking it up again. So tell us about it.
That's right, Doug. I got this appointment about a little over 5 years ago, and at the very first district council, my district superintendent that afternoon told me, said, Rick, Pastor so-and-so told me that they don't want to do Rangers. I had just been introduced to the district council. They dropped it because it is outdated and irrelevant. I made note of that, put it in my vision file. I trust you all have a vision file. And throughout the years, as I've gone around, just as this model has shown, and built the relationships, I always make it a point to tour with our district office, the district support staff, to go on the district tour that goes into all the sections as much as I can. And I was a couple of years ago in this section where this pastor is, and I was helping, as Rangers do, with moving tables and stuff. We were in a restaurant. The pastor and I were standing in the back of the room just making small talk as we were attending to matters. And, of course, I'd been in this position for 3 years, and we had just really started making great positive changes in the ministry. I was sharing with him just some of the stuff that was going on. Didn't ask him to do Rangers again. He didn't even know that I knew he had dropped Rangers for those reasons. Just recently, a couple of months ago, I asked our district superintendent for the opportunity to address the executive board. I turn in reports, of course, like all the department directors do. I said, Pastor, I just would like the opportunity to look him in the eyes and just share my heart with him, where we're at in the Ranger ministry. So I did. I was given the opportunity to do that, shared with the executive board, 13 sections in the Tennessee district. And just loved on them. And what was a little side note, as I went into the room, I did not realize the relationships that had been built. Because as I went into the room, there were several ministers. Hey, Rick, how's it going? Remember this? Remember that? One of them had gone to the Camperama with us. Another one with this and that. And I was a part of the group. It was amazing. I made the presentation, and that was on a Friday. The following Tuesday, the children's pastor of that church called me, said, Rick, Pastor Ed would like to talk to you, set up a meeting to talk about getting Rangers back in the church again. I met with him this past Friday, just before we come up to lead. Had all the stuff, the resource materials there available, but I did not go there to sell Royal Rangers. It's almost exactly word for word, like you just said, Doug. I used those words. You know, Pastor, here's what we are. And I feel like this, we have the best resources to mentor the leaders. However, if it doesn't fit for what God's called you to do in this community right now, then we'll find what needs, you know, whatever you need to use. But if you're looking for something that Rangers does, we will come here, we will resource you. And I didn't push Royal Rangers. I just shared what it was, and praise God, the team that we've put together in the last few years here in the Tennessee District, we were able to say with confidence, this is who we are. This is what we do now. And before that, I would not have approached that pastor 5 years ago. I couldn't argue with the reason he dropped Rangers. So it's real positive. It really is. And just at lunch today, I got a call from one of the new presbyters in East Tennessee, a lady who called me, the executive presbyter pastor up there, about her recommendation for a new Ranger leader in that area. And guys, I'll tell you, just in the truck right here, the reason we needed a new leader in that part of that district is because the previous leader was not on board with Royal Rangers and what they do today. So to be a part of that ministry, I gave him the opportunity to get on the bus. I opened the door, pulled the bus over to the side, and he stepped off.
Awesome. Would you give Rick a big round of applause? It's awesome. I just have one question for you. So you're finding then that the resources and the direction that we're going is very positive with pastors.
It is absolutely positive. Absolutely
awesome.
Positive. And they're calling us now. They want this.
Awesome. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Great. Thank you, Rick. God bless you. Yeah, you can sit down. Thanks. Building the relationships, they pay off. They really do pay off. It's hard, takes time, but it pays off. But to build those relationships and to come behind you in that relationship building process, you really need resources. And I just want to describe for you some of the resources that we're creating to help you in this relationship building process. They are not available yet, but we are in the process of creating them. Last year, we gave you the Mentoring Future Men booklet. That has been wildly, wildly successful because you have absolutely, totally cleaned us out. And so how many of you have used those? Okay, a couple of you. So there's two or three of you that have been using them. You used them all. Good job. So those mentoring resources, they are have been very successful, but we found a few holes as we got input from those of you who are using it. We began to identify ways that we could improve it. So we are in the process right now of, number one, creating a new version of that Mentoring Future Men booklet, and it will be available before General Counsel. And when it's available, we'll let you know. It's going to be expanded. It's going to have a little more information, and it will be the resource that will allow you to walk a pastor, a children's pastor, a youth pastor through the process of actually starting Royal Rangers. And it will have the products they need. It will have the training process they need. It will walk them through. You can spend as much time on any one part of that magazine you need. If you need to really spend time with them explaining why it's so important we mentor future men, then guess what? There will be information at the front. You can devote time to that. But if they already get that, they've already got a heart for that, you can jump straight to the ready, set, go part. You can talk about how to train the leaders. You can talk about the product they'll need. You'll be able to focus where you need to spend your time. So that magazine will come. And then around that magazine, we're going to create several support pieces. One is a support piece that will be a brochure that will be much less expensive than the magazine, and that will be the piece to distribute to as many pastors, youth, and children's pastors as possible. It will be the seed to cast out there. There will also be pieces for parents and prospective Ranger leaders, and there will be pieces for the boys as well to get them involved. So they'll all be a combined unit of resources. Along with that, we're going to have PowerPoint slides for you. These PowerPoint slides will allow you, again, to pull slides out of the deck or drop new slides or drop more of those slides in. That way you can tailor the presentation that you need to make for the audience that you're talking to at the time. And we will also have a video that will go along with the whole set. So we'll have all of this working together. And then I don't know if this will be available this year or not, but we're going to be building a website that will go right along with it all and help in the whole onboarding process of helping churches start Roll Rangers. So we're creating these resources that will be coming your way very soon. Additionally, we have other resources I want to make you aware of. For instance, when we run an ad in the Pentecostal Evangel, this year we're going to send the district directors an email just letting you know, hey, there's going to be an ad running in the Pentecostal Evangel on such and such a date. Go to AG Passport, log in there, and you will be able to find those very same ads in a variety of formats. If you can run those same ads on that same weekend in any periodicals that you have where you can get free coverage, then run it at the same time. Sound good? So we'll have ads for you. We've got display artwork that's already on the AG Passport. You can get that, use it. We'll continue to update those resources. You'll notice out here the track club display. How many of you have seen that? Track club display out here. All of that artwork is also available right now in the AG Passport section for you district directors to get so that you can advertise track club. And this afternoon, in just a little bit, John is going to be doing a presentation on track club, so you'll be able to see it if you haven't. Flyers, we've got flyers, and we will continue to create more flyers for you, such as the track club. You'll see it here in a while. John's going to hand them out. There's a flyer that looks like an iPad. If you want one and can't afford it, just carry that around, okay? It's just as good. It's the same size, a little lighter too, a little thinner also. So if you're not as cool as Ryan Beatty, who just bought one, then you can just carry that. Also, there's banners available on AG Passport for you to use. That is for you at the district level, but there's also resources for the local church. How many of you enjoy receiving the Outpost promo CD every year? Help us get the word out, because we constantly get we get churches calling, what's this CD about? What's this enhanced DVD about? And when we walk them through what it has on it, they're very pleased. Help us get the word out. There's resources to help create the ministry environment at the local church with banners that they can customize so that the Ranger Kid room looks cool, DR room, AR, all their rooms can look cool. There's banners for the hallways. There's signs they can put out on the road that says Rangers meets here on such and such a night. There's a banner that says Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries meet here on such and such a time. You can customize those. Help the local church realize that they're being resourced with some really top-notch marketing and advertising pieces. Amen? Let's do one last thing, and then we'll turn our attention to something entirely different as we turn our attention to the growth of Roll Rangers around the world. One final thing. How many of you are the outreach coordinator in your district? All right, excellent. How many of you are a member of the outreach team? Okay, a couple of you are. Excellent. What I want to do is I want to show how the outreach coordinator and his team add value to this entire process of growing Roll Rangers, and how that all of the other members of the district team come alongside and make that a reality as well. So let's divide this process up into three steps. Let's talk first about the pre-launch process. Before a church launches Roll Rangers, the outreach coordinator is doing three things. Number one, he's building relationships. He's going to the sectional meetings. He's going to the golf tournaments. He's going to district council. He's going to the conferences. He's attending the children's ministries conference. He's going to the all-church conference. He's going to the youth conference. He's going to the places where children's, youth, and lead pastors are at, and he's building the relationship. That is part of the pre-process. It's casting the seed. Secondly, during this pre-launch process, he's starting to get questions. As relationships get built, he's being asked, so tell me about Rangers. Why is it different today? Why should I adopt Roll Rangers? We tried it before and it didn't work. Why should we trust you today? He'll start getting questions and he begins to answer those questions. Third, during this pre-launch process, by his demeanor, by his spirit, by his attitude, he's beginning to change the perception people have of Roll Rangers. So here you realize the outreach coordinator and his team, they're really laying foundations relationally. They're using the resources, the advertising resources, but they're building all of these relationships. They're building this foundation. They're casting the seeds out there in anticipation of them growing. Then we move to the launch process. There's churches that during that relationship process say, okay, I want to start Roll Rangers. What's the launch process? How do I do this? So they're going to ask, how do I launch Roll Rangers? How do I adapt it to fit the needs in my community and the vision of our church? You need to be prepared as the outreach coordinator or as the training coordinator or the district director to begin to answer those questions when they're ready to launch. How do I apply it in my church? They're going to need to know about the products. They get the catalog. There's thousands of products there. They don't have a clue how to begin to narrow down what they need first, what they need second. That's the purpose for the sheet that we handed out. And that will also be part of that Mentoring Future Men booklet. The next generation coming out will lay out the products that they're going to need to help you walk them through answering those questions. Next, they're going to wonder how to train their leaders. You need to be prepared to explain how we train our leaders. What's the first step? The Ranger Basics, Ranger Essentials. Do I have to do all of these in a specific order? No, you don't. Well, which one should I do first? Well, this one's available right now. Why don't you start here? You begin to lay all that out, the training they need. How and where to charter? How many of you want them to charter? Okay, they're going to wonder, how do I charter? Where do I do it? You explain it to them. Do I have to pay a full year's charter right out of the chute? Or is it prorated that first year? Yes, it's prorated that first year. And you're available and prepared to answer those questions. And then you begin to explain to them the events that they can participate in. Any of the districts, you have events that you want them to participate in? So they're going to ask, how do I do this? How do I get involved? So they launch. So here again, the outreach coordinators laid this foundation relationally with all these pastors. Some of them begin to take it, and he walks them through this process of answering these questions. Then they launch. Then you help facilitate their participation in district and national training, their participation in district and national functions. You help them order products when they run into a snag with GPH. You help them. You don't complain with them. You help solve the problem. Amen? When it's chartering time and it's time to recharter, you give them a call. You encourage them. Can I come help you recharter this year? This is now the time where you're doing the full charter. Can I help you? And then you help them when it's time for district events. Let's say it's time for your summer camp, and you know this new church has no camping gear. And maybe they don't have the money to buy a whole bunch of camping gear in time for powwow. So you call them up. What are you going to need? How many boys do you plan to take? Well, I'm going to call a few churches and see if they'll loan some equipment. Amen? So the district outreach coordinator is walking through from the very beginning when this pastor has skepticism about Roll Rangers. And is it different? Is it credible? Is it relevant? Has all these questions. And the outreach coordinator builds the relationships that helps him overcome these and then begins to walk him through the launch process, helps him become involved entirely into the district ministries and the process and Rangers. And that is your job as an outreach coordinator. And you see how that training coordinator and his team, they're ready to do the training when it's time. You've got the guys doing the events, like the powwow, and they're ready to do the events and make it welcoming. They're going through the planning process. How will this look and feel to the church that's never been to one of our events? What will make them feel welcome? Everything Richard talked about, looking at the event from the participants' perspective and the new people's perspective. And that will begin to add value to the district and to the Roll Rangers ministry as we see this thing grow. Amen? So how many of you want to see Roll Rangers grow? Yeah. Amen. So we have to target the right churches. We have to be prepared to build the relationships with them. We have to be prepared to walk through the entire process with them. It's not just enough to get them started and hope they do well. Walk through that entire process with them. And as a result, we will begin to see more and more churches starting Roll Rangers and sticking with it for the long term. Amen? So here's how I want to conclude. In order to grow Roll Rangers, are you willing to bring your district programming into alignment with the promises that we have made? Can I hear a yes? Are you willing to bring your own personal leadership into alignment so that we are what we say we will be? Yes. Are you prepared to look at the structure of your district in order to get it into alignment so that you have the positions and the right people on the bus and everyone working according to the same success formula so that we can be everything that we've promised we will be. Amen. I believe that the best days for Roar Rangers are ahead if we will invest the time in closing the gaps and then begin to build the relationships. We will see more churches adopting Roar Rangers than we ever have in the past. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Will you bow your heads with me and pray? Heavenly Father, right now, we close this session. We've talked about mechanics, and we've talked about perhaps even mundane things and basic things. But Lord, that's what it takes. Is the farmer who's willing to get out and break up the fallow ground. It's not glamorous, it's sweaty and dusty, but he breaks up the fallow ground. And then he carefully plants the seed, and then he carefully begins to water it. And that's what we commit ourselves to do as we leave this place, to build this ministry so that it will grow, so that more boys and young men can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we acknowledge right now, Heavenly Father, that we can do the work, but unless you are the one that brings the increase, we labor in vain. So right now, Heavenly Father, we confess as a group of men that lead this ministry across the nation, we confess our total dependence and need for you. We will do everything that is in our power to build the relationships and prepare the ground, but we trust you to give the increase. Would you just raise your hands and ask the Lord to give the increase in your district? Just tell him, Lord, we confess it, that you are the one who will build the house. So we will do our part, but we will not do it without you, Heavenly Father. So we will do the mundane. We will do the hard work, the sweaty work. We will do what others won't do. But, Father, we turn to you and say, you give the increase, we pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus.